Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy, GLP-1s. The wonders of weight loss drugs have only been with us for just over 2 years, but they seem to have profoundly changed the way we look at food, drink, exercise, and all the points in between. As this is a business show, we wanted to have a look at how these drugs might have an effect on the wider economy. We weren't the only ones thinking of this. Conor Pope, the consumer affairs correspondent with the Irish Times, had a really brilliant piece in last weekend's paper. So he's with me now to rehash his article, but to talk about, Conor, maybe we'd start at a very basic level, GLP-1 drugs.
Yeah.
Who and what are they?
Well, basically, they're drugs that mimic a thing in your brain that tells you when you're full. So the idea of the GLP-1s is they were initially developed as a treatment for diabetes, and they are still being used as a treatment for diabetes. But they also have this knock-on impact whereby they turn off the signals in your brain that tell you that you want to eat more. So people who are taking the drugs report that after eating a certain amount of food, they're effectively full and they're not craving other things. They're not craving biscuits. They're not craving crisps. And as a result, it has kind of profoundly shaped or reshaped how people consume food.
Okay.
And that's the first thing that we've seen. There's lots of ways that the drug is changing our world and changing our world for the better, I have to say, Bobby. But the first thing is it changes how people eat.
How many people are we talking about in terms of the Irish context? Like, potentially, how many people are on this drug?
Well, we don't know.
Or these drugs?
We don't know is the short answer.
Can we make a calculated guess?
100%. So there are around 1.2 million people in Ireland right now who would qualify for the drugs. And by qualify, I mean they would qualify for a prescription for the medications. And
sure.
These are proper medications. These are not something you should be buying over the counter. So around 1.2 million people would qualify. Around 200,000 people might be taking the drugs. Now, the reason why I say might is because there has been a huge spike in the trade of these drugs online and people crossing the border into Northern Ireland to buy the drugs. So, for instance, the health regulator, I think, found nearly 750,000 packages containing these drugs bought online last year.
I suppose that's one of the danger areas.
100%. And one of the interesting things about the people who are buying these drugs online is, in the vast majority of cases, I would imagine, they're buying bogus drugs, either fake drugs or drugs that don't do what they say. And that's why it's really important for people to not go down that road. So that's why we don't know. But around 200,000
people. We have other information from America that even if we, I suppose, look at it in relation to Ireland, the obesity rate declined to 37%.
Yeah.
It was nearly 40%. So that's like 3% down from 2022. Like that's about 8 million people.
That's right. So that shows you the impact it has, because like obesity is a really chronic illness and it's a chronic condition and it has huge knock-on effects for the economy in terms of morbidity, in terms of absenteeism, in terms of loss of productivity. Like, it has a huge impact on the broader economy. And in the United States, I think, like, you know, the obesity level was climbing for years and years and years. And since 2022, it has fallen, as I say, from just under 40% to closer to 37%. That's 7 million people who are now being treated for this chronic condition successfully as a result of these drugs. And I think that is, and according to the authorities in the United States, the 7 million are almost entirely attributed to the weight loss medications that they're taking. And I think that the fact that it's going on a downward trend for the first time in donkey's years is a really interesting thing. And it's going to be reflected everywhere else as well.
What about the cost? And again, we can talk round numbers here, but it's likely to cost a punter who doesn't qualify for it free via the HSE. It's going to cost them $250 to $300 a month.
Yeah, so I reckon broad brush strokes, you're looking at €250 a month. And the thing about these drugs is they're not, I think one of the problems we have here, sometimes they're being sold in some quarters as a lifestyle drug, as something that you might take to fit into your summer dress or your summer shorts or whatever it might be. This is a lifetime commitment because all of the studies that we have show that if you stop taking the drugs, within 2 years, you return
back on
to your previous weight. So this is a lifetime commitment, in the same way that somebody might be taking statins is a lifetime commitment. So if you were to say, if you were to start taking the drug at 30 and you're spending 250 quid a month, over the course of your lifetime, you'd be looking at spending 150 grand yeah. or more. But it's really important to point out here, Bobby, that the drugs now are expensive and they come in an injectable form. Coming down the tracks very, very soon, I think already in some jurisdictions, they will be available in pill form. Then you'll have the generics and then yeah. the price
will absolutely
plummet.
Yeah, very, very interesting. We still have a bit of a stigma, though, don't we, around weight?
Yeah.
You talk about people using terms like the Ozempic face.
Yeah.
Or, in other words, that they're sneering at people
100%.
That are maybe making a lifestyle and a good healthy choice
yeah.
to improve their health.
And this is, by the way, I have to stress, Bobby, I am not a medic. I have no medical training whatsoever.
So that's two of us.
When we're talking about this, we're talking more from a consumer perspective.
Absolutely.
But I did speak to medics about it. And one of the things that they say is, like, there is that stigma. And I spoke to people taking the drugs. There is that stigma and a sense of shame. Because you have some people out there saying, well, you didn't earn your weight loss because you're taking drugs. You're taking the cheat's way out. And that is an absurd way of looking at this. One doctor I spoke to, Dr. Harriet Tracy, who runs
we've spoken to her on the show,
and she's
actually
a really, really smart woman. Yeah. And she made the point that you would never say to somebody who's taking cancer drugs, you'd never sneer at them for taking those drugs. You'd never sneer at somebody for taking drugs for epilepsy, for example. Yet we seem to think it's acceptable to sneer at people who are taking these drugs, even yeah. though, as she says, these are not really weight loss drugs. They're health benefit drugs. So they return you to a health that you may have lost donkey's years ago.
So when we look at the impact then in everyday life, maybe things that are starting to happen, the snack aisle in the supermarket is yeah. changing. People are drinking less, so yeah. there's all sorts of implications then around how booze is sold.
Absolutely. It's going to have a huge impact on, like, one person I spoke to who charts for retailers trends. So their job is to be ahead of what's happening. The snack aisles in the United States have been decimated. People have stopped buying all the really big snacks. Portion sizes have got much smaller in restaurants because people simply don't want to eat. And you know what? In so many respects, that's a really good thing. Because you've been to the States a lot, Bobby. You know that sometimes when you go into a restaurant, the portions are absolutely massive.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going, nobody needs to eat a steak bigger than their head. It just doesn't need to happen.
Yeah.
But America, and to a lesser extent, this country and other parts of the world, have become conditioned to think that more is more. So unless you get a really big portion, you're not getting value for money. And that's not true.
Will it have any impact on businesses like gyms?
Well, I spoke to somebody who runs a really good network of gyms in Dublin, the iconic gyms. And for the sake of full disclosure, I go to one of the gyms. Now, that's the only relationship I have with them. I pay full price. But he also runs a clinic. I think Barry Walsh is his name, and he runs a clinic called MedFit. And the idea is it's a holistic clinic that, you know, they brought in some GPs and for people who required the medications, they could be prescribed the medications. And his hope was that they would take the medications and then go into the fitness center. And there was very little crossover between people. And I think the key point here to remember is that a good gym will never sell itself as a weight loss center.
No.
Because the reality is, and I, Lord knows I've tried, you don't lose huge amounts of weight by running on the treadmill 4 hours a week, every week. You lose weight by changing your lifestyle, by changing how much you eat. And so the idea is that a gym, they don't know yet. It's a big topic of conversation for gyms all over the world, what the impact will be. But the hope would be that people who are starting to lose weight will
need to build muscle.
They will need to build muscle, and they will yeah. discover the benefits of going to a gym are not weight loss benefits, but you actually feel better about yourself. You feel more content, happier, and more invigorated if you are fitter. And that's probably going to be the hope.
It is interesting that something, you know, that we didn't even know about 2 or 3 years ago that it can have such a profound effect in so many places.
Listen, I was in a Marks and Spencer a couple of weeks back, and I saw this food, a salad. You know, like it was the last sunny day we had, so we were getting a picnic for Stephen's Green, right? It was a Saturday. And they had these salads, and they were all nutrient-dense salads. And the words nutrient-dense were in a really large font, yeah, where the actual salads themselves were in a much smaller font on the packaging. And I was like, what the hell is nutrient-dense? And those products are products that are specifically aimed at people who are taking GLP-1s, because the idea is the portions might be a little bit smaller,
yeah,
but they have all of the nutrients that you need. So you can eat the salad, you will feel full, and you'll get all the nutrients.
And that's a topic for another day.
Indeed.
Food labelling.
Absolutely.
We won't go there now. Connor, as always, wonderful to talk to you and really appreciate your analysis. Thanks
for making
the journey in.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.